But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. So my challenge is this morning, are you waiting with expectation? You can wait in desperation, or you can wait in expectation. So we are not waiting in desperation. We're waiting expecting Him to show up and do mighty and marvelous things. Amen? Amen, amen. All right, we are in Acts 8. As you know, we are studying the Word as it speaks to us through Acts. And so our text today starts out in Acts 8, verse 1. And the question is, what does God want to do? What does God want to do? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? It would be pretty important to find out what God wants to do, don't you think? Oh my goodness, I heard two ahas. So let's try that again. Wouldn't it be great, a good thing to do, to find out what God wants to do? Amen, amen. So let's find out together. Let's find out together. All right, Acts 8, verse 1. Okay, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. Okay, so this is right after Stephen was stoned. Paul was in agreement, but persecution arose and the Christians were scattered. But Saul began ravaging the church and entering house after house, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about proclaiming the good news. Went about proclaiming the good news. Philip, okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about Philip. Philip was one of the deacons. Okay, remember in the last chapter they appointed deacons, and we had Stephen and we had Philip, and we heard about Stephen. And so today, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. How was he received? The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip. Why? As they heard and saw the miraculous signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in the city. Much rejoicing. Where? Not in the church. In the city. So, okay, let's think about this story. Philip goes down to Samaria. We've had some other stories in the Bible about Samaria, haven't we? The Samaritan woman. Okay, other times they went out and they passed through Samaria. Not usually a place that welcomed the Jews. Not often a place that thought that they needed to hear about Jesus. But Philip shows up, and it says they all gave him their attention. Why? Why did they listen to what he was saying? Because signs and miracles were following proclaiming Jesus. Signs and miracles were following. They were proof that what he was saying about Jesus is true. So you could say, hey, Jesus is this, Jesus is that, but you don't know Jesus. So how do you know what I'm saying about Jesus is true? Well, because Philip would then pray for the sick, pray for the lame, pray for the blind, pray for those who were affected by demons, and they were healed and delivered. Well, if he's doing that in Jesus' name, then your conclusion is Jesus is real. right? Jesus is real. So when you and I share the gospel, when we tell somebody about Jesus, what should we expect to happen? Signs and wonders. What should we be believing for? And, okay, remember the original question? What does God want to do? See, if God wants to do something, like even here on Sunday morning, God may have a plan to do some things, to heal some people, deliver some people, set some people free. He may have that plan and purpose in mind, but did we come expecting that to happen? Did we come expecting that to happen? We have been given the charge to do what Jesus did, to become more and more like Jesus, and even do greater things. Greater things. Come on, that's in John 14. That we would do the same things that Jesus did and even greater things. So if we're told that we would do the same things that Jesus did, then what happened? What did God do when Jesus shared the gospel, when he preached the good news? Wasn't that a good question? Because if we're supposed to be doing the same things, what happened when Jesus shared the gospel? So we're going to look at a few of those. Luke 5. And it came about on one of those days, and you don't need to turn there, on one of those days that he was teaching, Jesus was out teaching, again, traveling from village to village, city to city, some men were carrying a man who was paralyzed on a stretcher. Remember that story? Okay, so we heard Jesus was teaching at the Landon house. Okay, so Jesus is in their family room and he's teaching and the family room is packed and you're bringing this friend of yours who is paralyzed. He's on a stretcher, so it's going to take two or three men to carry him. So you're carrying this guy on the stretcher. You get to the Landon's house, you look, there's 50 cars out front and you can't even get in the front door. But you came expecting God to do something, right? You expected something to happen when you met with Jesus. So Jesus is in their living room teaching, and they can't figure out how to get their friend in. So you remember what they did? They crawled up on the roof. Now in this case, got the chainsaw out, you know, cut a hole in Adam's roof. Lowered the guy down. Jesus is teaching and he looks up and here comes this thing down from the roof. That would shake you up a little bit and change your agenda. See, when we come Sunday mornings, we have to allow God to change our agenda. Our agenda is we come in, we listen to a song, we sing so many songs, we get encouraged, we sing some more songs, and then one of the pastors gets up and shares. Well, what if some morning after the first song, God showed up and that was all that happened the whole rest of the Sunday? The rest of it was healing, repenting, miracles. Are we willing for him to change our agenda? Okay, so here comes this man. He's coming down. And Jesus is like, okay, what do you want me to do? What is your expectation? So what did Jesus say? Oh, you interrupted that teaching, and that was a good teaching I was having. I spent weeks preparing that, and I was only in point four, and you just interrupted my whole... No, Jesus said, now we have to keep adjusting the way we pray. Somehow we got this idea that when we pray, we plead and we beg because we're not sure God wants to do it. That's not what we see Jesus doing. Jesus says, I say to you. I say to who? I say to the man on the stretcher. I say to you, rise up, take what you're lying on, and go home. Huh? Do we pray like that? No, we say, oh God, he's such a nice person and his family needs him. And you know he brought a can of soup to the neighbors last week. And we start naming all the reasons God should do something. Jesus said, take up what you're laying on and go home. And what happened? Come on, what happened? What was the expectation? At once, Karen, at once. Not 3 days later. At once he rose up, took what he was laying on, went home, and glorified God. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. What is our expectation and what does God want to do? See, they're the two questions. What does God want to do? And based on what we are learning, what God wants to do, that should raise our expectation. Okay. This is good stuff. It got me excited all week reading about it. On a Sabbath. So this was their holy day. This was Saturday. On their Sabbath, Jesus, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Okay? Last time he was teaching, this time he's teaching. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Okay? Right hand withered. The scribes and the Pharisees, okay, remember a couple weeks ago I talked to you about a religious spirit? The scribes and the Pharisees were watching to see if he would heal on a Sabbath. Now, come on, really? What is more important, healing a person, bringing them into relationship with God, or following a tradition? There was a man whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him, watching Jesus, to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, okay, you want to hear this prayer again? Get up and come forward. He got up and he came forward, and Jesus said to the crowd, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it? After looking around at all them, he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And he did it, and his hand was restored. Come on! Are we getting it? Are we getting it? What does God want to do, and what is our expectation based on what God wants to do? So as we share Jesus, so you understanding this all happens after Jesus is being shared, after the good news is being shared, after people are told God has a good plan for your life. God so loved you that he sent Jesus to die for you. And oh, by the way, once you get excited about that fact that God so loved you, he sent Jesus, get healed. On. It wasn't after you get saved, after you get baptized, after you join the church, then we'll pray for you to get healed. You understand it was all in the same package. God so loved you, he sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you. This is how you get saved. Oh, and why don't we take care of healing at the same time? Right? Isn't that what happened? Am I making this up? This wasn't 3 weeks later. This wasn't after you went through synagogue class. This is the gospel, the good news, and now you can get healed. Jesus made it really clear when he said, now I need to go find the verse. Okay. Go and report to John. So they came to Jesus and they said, hey, John's wondering, John the Baptist, he's in prison and he's wondering, are you really the expected one? Are you the promised one? Are you the Messiah? And he said, tell John what you have seen and heard. Okay, tell John what's been happening. Here's what's been happening as the gospel's been shared. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Come on. So if we're asking the question this morning, what does God want to do? Here it is. Here it is. Now, what could be any clearer? The gospel is preached. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear and the dead are raised. What are we expecting and what does God want to do? What are we expecting and what? So I thought this, so I thought, well, maybe some of you think that. So I thought, but that's Jesus. Have any of you thought that? Well, that's Jesus. Of course he did all that. Well, then, why don't we take a minute and look at what the disciples did? They weren't the Son of God. What did the disciples do? Okay, you ready? I heard one ready. Well, it's coming whether you're ready or not. So here we go. Remember that Jesus said we would do the same deeds that he did and even greater ones. Do it now. Do it now. So what happened when his disciples went out and shared the good news? What happened? So this is recorded in three of the Gospels. It's in Luke 9, Matthew 10, and Mark 9. Jesus sent them out. He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and proclaim the kingdom of God and perform healing. Did you see that they're part of the same package again? Proclaim the kingdom of God, heal disease, and have authority over demons. In the section in Matthew, it says when he sent them out, he gave them this charge. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. He was expecting them to do that. Why would he charge you to do something and then not expect you to do it? Freely you have received, freely give. And then in Mark, it says that they went out proclaiming that people should repent. They cast out demons. They anointed many sick with oil and healed them. Now wait a minute. Does it sound to you like the disciples did the same things Jesus did? Yes. Okay. So the disciples went out, they did the same things that Jesus did. People were saved, healed, and delivered. Okay, but then you might say, but they were the 12 apostles. They were the special ones. What about me? What about me? What about me? Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. In Luke 10, Jesus sent out the 70. They were just like us-ins. See? They were not the disciples. The 70. So what did Jesus expect them to do? Well, let's listen. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he was going to be coming. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go therefore, I send you out as lambs, even among the wolves. Carry no money belt, no backpack, no shoes, and do not stop to greet others on the way. Whatever house you enter, say peace be to this house. And if a man of peace lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they set before you. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what they set before you." See, that's going to take some faith, isn't it? I've been there, done that. I've been in places and they put stuff before me and I did not know what it was, and I thought if I ask, I probably won't eat it. So just don't ask. On my first mission trip with Pastor Dick to Africa, I could tell what it was because when they scooped into the pot, they brought up a chicken claw. Yeah. Okay, verse 9. You ready? You ready? Come on. Jesus sent out the 70, told him to go in, how to stay, where to stay. Heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Okay? That was his charge. Share the gospel, the good news, and heal the sick. Okay, back to our question. What does God want to do when the gospel is shared? And what should we expect? See, I'm trying to raise your expectation today. Because if God wants to do it, then we should expect it, right? The verse I read at the beginning is, are we waiting with expectation? Waiting with expectation. Because if God wants to do something, it's going to happen. Amen? Okay. Verse 17. So what happened when they went out? This was their assignment. Verse 17. The 70 returned with great joy, saying, Lord, guess what? Even the demons were listening to us. When we told them to go, they went. Right? They are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And yes, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Jack, all the power of the enemy. He's given us authority. And nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is recorded in heaven or written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. All right. So the 70 went out. They proclaimed the kingdom. They healed the sick, and they delivered those afflicted by demons. So we saw when Jesus went out and proclaimed the gospel, he healed the sick and delivered those oppressed. What happened when the disciples went out? They proclaimed the kingdom and healed the sick. What happened when the 70 went out? They proclaimed the kingdom and healed the sick. So let's go back to Philip. Okay, so remember, Philip went down to Samaria. And he was sharing the good news. And it says that the people were giving attention because they heard and saw the miracles. Remember? The miracles. Okay. Verse 9. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly practiced magic in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving their attention to him. Okay, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, okay, and why did they believe? Because they heard the good news and they saw the miracles. They believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, and they were baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon believed and was baptized. He continued on with Philip as he observed what? Signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent down Peter and John. They sent down the big guns, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon them. They had simply been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of hands, he offered them money. He said, hey, if I give you some money, can I do this? And Peter said, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. So you have no part or portion in this, for your heart is not right with God. Therefore repent of this wickedness, and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are affected by bitterness and in the bondage of sin. But Simon said, pray to the Lord for me yourself, so that nothing of what you say may come to pass. And they shared the word and started back to Jerusalem. So I felt I should add this further point. What else happened when the gospel was shared? Gospel was shared. People were healed, saved, delivered, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes, you have to ask for forgiveness, turn from your own ways, turn toward Jesus and commit to follow him, and then ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So how do I know that's all supposed to be part of the package? Well, how about looking at Acts? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Peter stood up in front of the crowd, and he shared about Jesus and what they had just done, and the crowd said, brothers, what must we do? In other words, how are we saved? You just told us about this mistake we made. How are we saved? What was Peter's response? Repent and let each of you be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. Okay, let's review. Jesus had signs following. Disciples had signs following. The 70 had signs following. So what about us? Do we have signs following? Should we expect signs following? In Mark 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and, okay, go into all the world, preach the gospel to them. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And these miraculous signs will follow. Will follow. Not may, not even should. Should would have been pretty good. Will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new tongues. Serpent bites and poison will not harm them. Listen, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick might possibly recover. What? Is that another will? Another will. And they will recover, be healed. Come on. So back to our original question. What does God want to do? And based on what God wants to do, what should we expect? What does God want to do? And based on that, what should we expect? Miraculous, healing, restoration, deliverance. So we have some time this morning. This message wasn't real long, real complicated. It's pretty simple to actually let him do that. So what we're going to do, we're going to let the word sink in. We're going to let our expectations rise while we take communion. And then we have a song where we're going to be reaching out to him and saying, okay, Lord, I'm believing you. And then if you want personal prayer, we're going to do personal prayer. So we have some time. It's only a little after 11. So let's expect him to meet with us. Amen? What does God want to do? And we're expecting him to meet with us. All right, so if I can have my communion servers.